Greetings to the brightest audience in America. This is Fred Williams bringing you another edition of Real Science Friday. Bob Inyard is working diligently on a special project that he's going to launch next week, so stay tuned for that. However, I won't be alone today as I have a very special guest in the studio, Mr. Louis DeGrave. Welcome to the show, Lou.
Thank you very much for your introduction, Fred.
Oh, no problem. Lou is going to be our speaker tonight at 7 p.m. at our monthly Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship meeting. And we meet at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, and that's at 2100 Wadsworth Boulevard in Lakewood. In fact, it was in an RMCF meeting that I first met Lou. I think it was maybe, I don't know, some 10 years ago. And I remember Lou asking me about slides and laptops and projectors. He was getting ready to start becoming a speaker on creation. And little did I know that we had a budding superstar speaker in our midst.
That is a slight exaggeration.
I don't think so. I've seen Lou speak, and he's you guys won't be disappointed. Please make an effort to come out tonight, because we're going to talk about a very critical and important topic. But before we dive into that, I wanted Lou to share a little bit of his he has a pretty interesting past.
I was born and raised in Indonesia. Indonesia is near Australia, on the island of Java. I spent 39 months in a Japanese concentration camp in World War II. My dad spent 2 weeks less in the prisoner of war camp in World War II. Why 2 weeks less? He died 2 weeks before the end of World War II.
Oh, so you were in a Japanese prison camp?
Correct.
Okay. So could you explain? I don't understand. Why would you be in a Japanese prison camp?
Okay. At the Pearl Harbor, the Japanese invaded the Philippines, and then they went to Indonesia because Indonesia had many resources that they needed. They had oil, aluminum and other things, and so they needed the material to fight the war. So when the Philippines surrendered, then Indonesia surrendered, and all the people were, all the soldiers were put in a concentration, prisoner of war camp, and the women and the children in a concentration camp.
Oh man, so that's, so 39 months, and how old again were you at the time?
From 6 till 9.
Okay, oh gotcha, 6 to 9 years old. Is that a pretty vivid memory of back?
Yes, I do, and I was 9 years old when I attended first grade.
Wow. Well, okay. Well, let's jump into our topic. You're going to be talking about global warming tonight. And again, this is a really, this is a more critical topic than people realize, because how it intertwines with, our world views on how we look at things. So I really encourage people to come tonight. Lou, again, is a very dynamic and entertaining speaker. You'll be amazed how he can present a point in a very straightforward and simple manner, and not, not with a lot of calculus and, quantum physics. Something that, Lou could do. He's more than, highly intelligent, but he has a knack, a very strong ability for getting a point across where the layman can understand it. So, again, I encourage you to come tonight. Again, that's at Bethlehem Lutheran at 2100 Wadsworth at 7 p.m., and that's the second Friday of every month. So, again, our hot topic is global warming. So, Lou, would you like to tell us a little bit about what your research has shown?
For a long time, I had no idea about global warming. But then I attend many meetings, and all of a sudden I heard a person speak about global warming so I could understand it. Then I looked back in the record, and I clearly remember reading the National Geographic of 1976, what he talked about global cooling and all the bad effects that were happening.
Global cooling? So in 30 years we've gone from cooling to heating?
Yeah, I mean, that was the disaster. And then before that, everybody remembers the Dust Bowl era in the 30s, that was global warming. Global warming, global cooling right now, global warming. And this is all because of driving an SUV. So I became suspicious.
So maybe in 30 years we'll be back to global cooling, it sounds like.
Well, now the other thing is, in Washington, they are about to spend $1 trillion. If we assume that there are 300 million people in America, or 100 million families, that means that they are about to spend $10,000 on every family. Now, as a representative, as a senator, doesn't it behoove one to really study up on it?
Yeah, when I was reading, you know, about global warming, preparing for this interview, it's amazing the economic impacts it can have if we agree to some of these treaties. You know, if you get rid of nitrogen for fertilizer, I mean, half the world could go hungry just because of man's silly ideas.
We'll address that. What we should be grateful for, all the progress we have made and all the cars and all the tractors, so that we can produce all that food. It is of a benefit to America.
Yeah, absolutely. I read this interesting quote by President Obama. He said that we have to get used to the idea that we can't keep our houses at 72, drive our SUVs, and eat all we want. And there's this professor of chemistry at Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine who had a different response. He says he didn't want to give up eating all I want because of a failed hypothesis. So he's somebody who's gathered 31,000 signatures of scientists in the United States. Many of these have PhDs that oppose this view of global warming that's being pushed down our throats. I think Al Gore, and this was on the Glenn Beck show not too long ago, was quoted as saying that there's only a minuscule, a very, 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 very small percentage of scientists that are buying, who don't accept global warming, and even equated them to flat earth believers. I mean, this sounds real familiar with the spin that they try to put on the creation evolution debate. And then, you know, you mentioned the SUVs. So I don't know if you saw the report, Lou, about, you know, on, I guess they have global warming on Mars. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Well, I always was suspicious of NASA driving around them Cadillac Escalades up there. Now we know it's, you know, it wasn't something they did on some place in England, you know, on a stage. You know, they really did pull that off. So anyways, what else can you tell us about global warming and its impact with how we, you know, just in general with...
Just recently, Al Gore was asked a question about the polar bears. I will address the polar bears. It is fun, it is quick, and to the point. Another one, and everybody knows about it, is the hockey stick. And
The hockey stick, isn't that, is that the Avalanche and Red Wings kind of thing?
Well, that is a possibility, but this time it's a different kind of a hockey stick. It is more or less a chart that is more or less level, and all of a sudden, for 10 years, the chart goes way up by 2-3 degrees.
Okay, yeah, because when I was preparing for this interview, I saw that it's a graph of through time, and all of a sudden it spikes up
right
in the resale in the last 10 years, this sudden global warming. And this is what you'll see if you go out on the Internet and research global warming and go to the pro-global warming sites, you'll see this hockey stick. So
we will be talking about that, and we will explain it clearly what is going on. And finally, we talk about all that melting ice, North Pole, South Pole, etc. We will address that too, and much, 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 much more. It is going to be fun, entertaining, lighthearted, and you in 1 hour, you might get more information than many of the people that represents us in Washington know about global warming.
And, you know, something that just came to mind when you talked about the melting Northern Arctic and all these ice glaciers melting is Sports Illustrated, of all magazines, is supposed to be about sports. You're supposed to go there and read about your Broncos or whoever, your baseball. The cover story on the cover of the magazine was the Miami football stadium, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of that stadium, but it was all underwater because of global warming. And, you know, how irritating to be getting a sports magazine and have to be, you know, fed this propaganda about global warming. So, anyways, I'm kind of getting off on a tangent on this, but something else, Lou. I don't know, did you see the movie The Day After Tomorrow?
I did not.
Okay, well, this movie, it's basically the Scopes Monkey Trial version of global warming. It really pushes a Hollywood viewpoint of global warming. In fact, the vice president, who's the bad guy, who doesn't accept that this is happening, is none other than almost a dead ringer lookalike for Dick Cheney. So, you know, they try to make, you know, a side look bad by, you know, associating, like, stupidity with a belief. And, of course, at the end of the movie, because he, you know, Dick Cheney comes around to their beliefs because the world gets, there's a cataclysmic event where tornadoes are happening in L.A., and then New York City gets frozen over completely. And basically what happens is a glacier moves down, an ice age that covers half the continent of the United States. And ironically, everybody moves to Mexico. So one of the lines I saw in that, when I was looking at the comments of that movie, this I thought it was pretty funny. This lady named Susan said, This movie has reminded or has ruined Survivor for me. Getting kicked off an island now seems totally lame compared to getting kicked off a continent. So, anyways, this movie is a lot like the Scopes Monkey Trial, and I want to make a quick plug on that. There's a screenwriter, Fred Foote, who's producing a movie called Alleged, and it's a different take. It's an accurate, truthful take on the Scopes Monkey Trial because there's a lot of things about that that people are not aware of, facts behind the scenes, so to speak. And this movie is a really good production. I mean, it stars big names like Brian Dennehy, Fred Thompson, a few others. So please be watching for that. I'm not sure of the release date, but the name of the website is allegedthemovie.com. So back to global warming, Lou. Have you had do you speak about global warming not just as a speaker, but to people you meet? I mean, is it a witnessing tool?
You know, that was kind of interesting that you asked me that question, because a few weeks ago I needed a few tires, so I went to a tire store and I happened to talk to a lady who was there, needed some work done on her car. She was a nurse. And I asked her, do you believe in global warming? And she said, I certainly do. That, her belief, only lasted less than 3 minutes. And in 3 minutes, I was able to convince her that global warming was not what it was supposed to be. Then I talked to another person, and she was a manager at Walmart. Same thing. Then I talked to a nanny. I said, are you telling me that all that global warming stuff is not true? All of a sudden, it seems that a light lit up in her head. Wow, is this what is going on? But basically, that is why I'm going back to my first statement. We have to be like those three young men, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, to stand up and speak out. That means we have to study, and then we have to speak out.
Absolutely. So can you share with us maybe, I don't know, some of the highlights of how you would, you know, if you witness to somebody or you're trying to convince them of this global warming. First of all, I guess, how does it tie in with maybe creation evolution or, you know, belief in a creator, anything like that in general?
I have tried to do some witnessing in the creation evolution, and I have had more problems with some people, and with some people have been successful. Global warming is a lot easier. But over here, let me make a couple of statements, and you'll be surprised where they came from. A global warming treaty must be implemented, even if there is no evidence of global warming. I mean, a statement like that. Then another one, and you'll be surprised where that came from. We have to write a theory of global warming, even if it is wrong. And that used to be a representative from Colorado. I mean, when you hear something like this, well, basically in that presentation, there will be over 100 slides, many, many, many pictures. It will be fast moving. So you can hear me. If you can't hear me because I have an accent, you can see it. If you cannot see it, you can see the picture. So you can get it three different times. This is one presentation you want to attend with your students. It will be something you do not want to miss.
Yeah, and again, that's going to be at Bethlehem Lutheran Church tonight at 7 o'clock. Please don't miss it. It's centrally located in Denver at 2100 Wadsworth Boulevard. You know, it's interesting, Lou. From my research, it looks like Al Gore doesn't even want to debate this topic. I know that there's a guy named Lord Christopher Monckton, that he was a chief policy advisor for Science and Public Policy Institute. And he was a guy that was on the Glenn Beck Show, and he's got this website, greatswindle.com, and that's where you can go out there and you can see some articles that are counter to global warming. And again, it includes that article I think I mentioned earlier about 3,100 signatures from scientists who oppose it. And do you know how many the UN scientists have been pushing this? I know that they had a cadre of scientists that they brought together saying, preaching global warming as fact.
My understanding is that, in a way, creation, people that believe in creation, teachers that want to teach about creation, and people that want to talk about the truth about the lack of global warming, that both have a problem maintaining their job. So if you work somewhere and you do not believe in global warming and you express your voice, your job will be terminated or something like that. So there are very few people that are employed that express their feelings. So most of them are outside. They are retired or independent.
Well, that sounds just like, you know, if you believe in creation, it's the same thing. There's a movie called Expelled that, boy, that's
Stein.
Ben Stein, that's right. If you haven't seen that movie, that's really good. It's he interviews a lot of college professors, and basically the theme of that is if you believe in creation, they'll find a way to drum you out of. If you're in a PhD program, they'll make it difficult on you completing your PhD. If you're already a professor, you'll have a difficult, if not impossible, time to get tenure. And it's this bias against this belief. If they had all the facts, they wouldn't stoop to these kind of tactics. But they don't have the facts, so they resort to these tactics like calling us flat earth believers for, you know, disagreeing with global warming. And, you know, unfortunately that goes on in a lot of aspects of science that are counter to scripture and counter to the creator of the Bible. Could you speak to maybe how global warming is maybe an affront to the creator of the universe and in our world?
The book of Job makes it clear that God alone controls the unpredictable changes in weather. God alone. Okay, there are people who change the truth into a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. That is the very key of what is going on. They want to talk about the environment, worship the environment rather than who created the environment, which is the creator.
Absolutely. So, again, the importance of Romans 1, where God talks about how his invisible attributes are clearly seen and goes on to say that they worship the creature rather than the creator. They worship basically dirt, and this is just part of it with the whole global warming fiasco that's going on. So this will be great if you can make it out tonight to hear Lou's talk, because you're only getting, you know, small pieces of it. Try to entice you to get out there, because I've seen parts of this presentation, and it really is fascinating and all the different facts that that we're going to see tonight. You know, we've talked before about Lou. He actually began talking about creation versus evolution, and his talks have been fantastic. I've used some of his slides myself. It's, you know, sometimes it's a copycat business, but he has such good material. Lou, what really motivated you to get into becoming a creation speaker? And just a speaker in general, because, again, you've got all kinds of great topics you cover.
You know, I went to a Christian school in the Netherlands, and over there I was taught about this world being billions of years old and that we evolved. And all of a sudden, I attended this a meeting, and somebody explained to me about creation. And I got turned on but good. And I said, for 40, 50 years, I did not know the difference. And right now I will do my very, very best to help the kids learn about creation evolution. Then I went to the next step. I was sitting next to a person who was teaching finances. And all of a sudden I said, hey, I can do the same thing. So I expanded a little bit. And that became a fun presentation. Basically, financial freedom, God's way, how to get out of debt, how to live God's way, spend less than you make. And the last one is financial success. Now, what is financial success? Go to Lutheran Hospital. It is not what you have, but what you give. So all of a sudden, I tried to make it practical, 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 and so is global warming. It will be practical fun. Take your kids with you. If there's one way that's good for the kids, that is this one.
Okay. So 40 to 50 years, you believed in evolution or some form of it?
I did.
Wow.
I did, and I did not know anything about global warming either.
Yeah. I know I was in that boat for 30 years. I didn't quite buy into all of evolution, but I definitely bought into millions of years. And from your perspective, why is millions of years such an important topic?
If we cannot trust Genesis, what about the rest of the Bible?
Absolutely.
And so then I went to some other practical things, and that blew my mind also. Bible characters today. Okay, Joseph today. Rebecca today. Rebecca, she did not do something, and she did do something. Most young people do just the opposite today. Okay, King David, the giant. Why was he the giant that he became? And we could do the same thing if we follow what he did. The next one is Proverbs. I've read Proverbs many times, but not this way. Diligence. Very, very few people are diligent in whatever they do, no matter where you are. So that, all of it has changed my mind, changed my way of thinking, changed my way of doing things.
How many different talks do you have?
I have about 50.
Wow, 50. And you know, I know that Lou is highly sought after. Pastors that have him at their church are really impressed by his presentation, and he gets invited back often. How many, what's the biggest crowd you've spoken to?
1,000.
1,000? Oh, really? Where was that?
That was in Pensacola.
Oh, okay.
But in Denver, 300.
Okay.
And I just came back yesterday from Akron. I've been invited back for the third time, and I will be going there the next year.
So if you want talks on any of the topics that you've heard Lou mention today, please contact us. Lou, do you have contact information that they can where they can get a hold of you?
I have nothing because basically I'm just doing it for fun.
So they're making so you're going to make these people, which I think is a good thing, to come out tonight to hear you speak and then find out how to get a hold of you for other talks. And I, again, I'll highly encourage that because these are this is just a fantastic presentation. And it is amazing how many people buy into global warming. You know, I might not remember exactly who said this. It was Hitler or one of his henchmen that said that if you tell a lie long enough, often enough, and loud enough, people will start to believe it. And boy, isn't that true.
As a matter of fact, you will see that slide tomorrow evening, tonight.
Okay. So, you know, and they try to, you know, brainwashing can be very effective, and we've all been victimized by it. You know, there's a saying that, you know, rat poison is what, 99% good food. It's that 1% that'll kill you. And so they'll mix in some things that are accurate to try to cover up what is not accurate. So please, again, it's vital to get this information because I know you can share it with your coworkers. These are the kind of topics that people like to talk about. It's a lot easier to reach somebody who doesn't have a Christian worldview by talking about the Creator. And that's part of what you're doing when you're talking about global warming. So this is, you know, often on Real Science Friday shows, we talk about creation versus evolution. But again, this topic really ties into that. It's very similar. It's, again, worshiping the creation rather than the Creator and denying who's really in control of the weather. They're trying to, they have their own savior. You'll see that tonight. In fact, Lou, who was the first speaker that you heard, you said, that got you motivated about global warming? Was that Al Gore? I take it that's a no.
No comments.
So you will see tonight, again, who that was. I want to take a brief moment to make a plug for Bob's show. It's, you know, Bob doesn't do this often. I don't think often enough because I know he's not comfortable doing it. But this show does rely on people donating your money to help us keep this show and all the shows during the week on the air. So please consider donating to the show. Another way you can help out is Bob's put together a great science pack for $99. And what you get is you get Unlocking the Mystery of Life. It's a DVD that's absolutely fantastic. It is my number one favorite DVD on creation versus evolution. There's also another great DVD made by the same people with great, it's great video presentation, and that's The Privileged Planet. And then you'll also get Walt Brown's In the Beginning, and what a book that is. It's a huge book with all kinds of resources, but it's very easy to read and easy to, I really like how he references all the statements he makes, and he keeps it short and sweet, but then he provides you details if you want to go get it. There's also the Age of the Earth debate, which I was there when Bob and a couple other creation scientists debated a group from CU. And wow, what a powerful debate that was. And, let's just say that, you know, Bob sells that debate on his website, and the Reasons to Believe group that promotes an old earth, they don't sell that debate. So I think that gives you an idea who won that debate. And then finally, you'll get Bob's Bible study on Genesis. This is a really fantastic Bible study. I've heard it. It's very easy to follow. And there'll be some intelligent insights in there that I really think will surprise you. So please visit the website, kgov.com, or you can call 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-8-NYART. So again, our guest in the audience is Louis DeGrave. He speaks on many, many different topics, and tonight he will be at Bethlehem Lutheran Church at 2100 Wadsworth Boulevard at 7 p.m. It's real easy to find, centrally located, and please be there. It's a one-hour talk, and Lou's really going to tear it up with global warming. So, Lou, do you have any other thoughts on that you'd like to share with the audience about global warming or any topic in general?
Having heard many speakers, I think this presentation can be close to Bill Jack, easy to understand and fun.
And I can endorse that because, again, I've heard Lou speak, and if anyone's heard Bill Jack, he's very dynamic and easy to follow, and Lou's presentations are the same way. Lou, what's your, just out of curiosity, what's your favorite evidence when you talk about creation versus evolution, since that's a common topic on this show? Is there one that you really like the most?
Well, Darwin talked about missing links or intermediates. And right now, people are desperately looking for one missing link when there should be millions. And every time they find one, a few weeks later, they found out, no, this is the wrong one. So that is, in a way, my favorite, that evolution cannot happen.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to watch them stumble on that. And we talked about the recent one, this Ida, that they discovered. And they said it was, the 10th wonder of the world or something silly. And they really pushed that in the media. And then it was just several days later that scientists from their own side were saying, well, this is just an extinct type of lemur. So that's a great example, Lou. We're getting short on time here. Again, I'd like to encourage people to come out tonight. It's we have this meeting at Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship the second Friday of every month. And our website is www.youngearth.org. You can go there to find out, who our next speaker is, our schedule. We also list all our public events. So, again, we're getting short on time. And, Lou, any closing thoughts, any enticing things you want to say to try to draw people out to your talk tonight?
If you only have one more possibility to attend the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, tonight might be a really fun, entertaining one, because it is so pertinent and because it affects your pocketbook like nothing else ever will. 10,000 per family is what we're talking about. I will talk about a few of the things, what it will do to your pocketbook.
So $10,000 per
family.
Average per family.
$1 trillion. 100 million families, 10,000 per family.
Wow. So you think a lot of this is tied in with the global warming, this whole budget spending. Well, that'll be real interesting to see that. And this will tie in with your financial diligence. So, okay, we thank you again for being with us today. Again, this is Real Science Friday. And please call 1-800-8-NYART, and please help support this show so we can stay on the air. And also, thanks for Maranatha Christian School. It's a great school. I think it's the best in Colorado.